Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, folks, and welcome to Radio For Your Mind. Troy Dooley here. And I'll tell you what, it's been an exciting week. As you guys know, we have been on the road from one end of this state, or country, I should say, to the next. Now having an awesome time up in Atlanta. I'm going to be talking with some pastors today about our new nonprofit network. And it's exciting, but today we're in Dr. Henry Cloud's book, Integrity, the Courage to Meet the Demands of Reality. And if you've been with us, we're just entering chapter 6. And today's lesson is actually titled Building Trust Through Vulnerability. And that's something that you don't hear about a lot in business schools or college or universities that focuses on leadership. And it's because we're taught to be tough, to be strong, even in the Marine Corps. That was one of the things about being a leader, was that you had to connect with your people, but yet the focus was on that strength factor. It wasn't until after boot camp that we really started realizing just how strong but yet vulnerable our leaders were. And I think it makes a big difference. Dr. Cloud starts this off by saying, for trust to work, there's a tricky power component. Think about it for a second. How much do you trust someone who is powerless, a wimp, incompetent? Maybe you trust those people not to lie to you, but what aspect of your life would you entrust to them for safekeeping or to make better for you? As I studied that phrase, that little paragraph, I started thinking backwards to all the powerful leaders. And I don't mean powerful in strength. I mean powerful in what they accomplished, the influence that they had. And none of them were weak. He goes on to say, when you buy insurance, for example, you don't get it from a kiosk at the flea market. You get it from one of those really tall buildings that looks as if it's been there a while and isn't going anywhere. You want it from the rock or some other symbol of strength and stability. Now, this is the key. Listen to this. Trust has a requirement of strength and power. I started thinking back. If you think of not just insurance companies, but banks. Banks used to be the biggest, tallest buildings. We were in Galveston last week, and the United States National Bank is this bank in downtown Galveston in this granite building that looks like it's withstood every hurricane that's ever hit that island. And I thought, wow, you know, he makes a good point here. But when you think about these buildings, these powerful symbols of strength and stability, when you get inside of them, they're warm. They're made from wood, from mahogany. They're plush. You feel comfortable, but yet you see the power behind it. So as I sat there and I thought about that, I thought, man, that's so true. Even children, your children, your teenagers, they want parents that have strength, not wimpy. That's the key. So what we're going to look at today is how can you balance strength and vulnerability? See, if too much strength, and people don't trust you. They think that you're impenetrable. You're not going to understand their needs. But too spongy, and they're not going to follow you either. So there's got to be an in-between. A gap to bridge, the gap to bridge is with the heart. See, you've got to be able to tap into that trust factor, that trustworthiness like we talked about yesterday. You know, you've got to be a person of grace, but yet you've got to be strong. You've got to be able to withstand the weather when it comes at you. See, it's funny because Dr. Cloud says we can't identify with them enough to think that they will understand us if they're just rock solid. They are too much unlike us for us to trust them. So we hold back and instead talk to people who do not seem to be so otherworldly. That is, they can relate to us humans. For trust to work in human relations of any kind, whether leadership, marriage, parenting, or business, we have to be able to see the kinds of crack in the armor so that we know the people are real. This is something that my two, I won't say all, but two of the leaders that I had in the Marine Corps, this is where they stand out. Major Fenton, was one of them that we knew his vulnerabilities. He would share the story, share his successes and his failures. It really set him apart. First Sergeant Davis was the same way. He would share with us when he came back from Vietnam how he almost lost his wife because of the fact that he would have nightmares and would thrash in the bed and grab hold of her like she was the enemy. He shared that. So we started to trust what they told us. See, that's the key. We have to see the tension and the dynamic of power and trust. Not enough power, and we can't entrust things of value to the person. Too much power, and we can't feel as if they could ever understand or relate to our own vulnerabilities. This is the big one. Write this down. For someone's character to be able to negotiate reality, there must be a dynamic tension between the power and the vulnerability. See, we have to be able to relate to our leaders. We will always hold them high. We will always look at them as the guiding force. But we have to see vulnerability. Jesus Christ is a living example of this when you actually analyze the man. And if you're new to the show, understand my faith plays a part in it. But this isn't going to get, you know, religious or anything. Just think about this for a second. Jesus needed to relate to the people in which he was going to lead. So what happened in his life? He was born of a virgin. Now let's take that for a second. Who in their right mind is going to believe that God impregnated a human woman? So already people are going to be able to relate to the fact of a questionable birth. See, he knew that they were going to have vulnerabilities. Now he's showing his vulnerability. If you go and track his roots, you see that there were even professional hookers that were upline that had been his grandmother and great-grandmother. So you start to see this. He was born of a common person. The country of the Hebrews, the Israelites, had been taken over by Rome. His dad was a carpenter. His mom was a housewife. He was born in a manger. I mean, think about the story. We all know the story, whether you believe it or not. You know the story. And now he goes on to lead people that could relate to him. You know, the longest story in the Bible where Jesus has a conversation was at a well with a woman who had been married 6 times and was living with a guy. Now here's what I found so fascinating about this story. He shows his vulnerability. He knows her vulnerability, but yet she's a powerful woman. She was able to go back to her town. Now think about this. Gal's been married 6 times. She's living with a guy. That's taboo in those days, let alone today. Living with a guy. But she was able to go back into the town and draw a crowd from the town to come and listen to Jesus speak. That's power, but yet that's vulnerability. Jesus had power, but yet there was vulnerability. This is what I'm saying. You can take any leader out there. It doesn't have to be Jesus. It can be Gandhi, for that matter. Be the same principle. You know, when you look at the power, but yet the vulnerability of every great leader. Some of you don't like President Bush, so we'll use him as an example. He had a vulnerability. He had no problem saying, I just don't know about that. But now take that and spin that over to President Obama. There's a lot of people say that he can't relate to the common person because he always seems to have a pat answer for everything. See, there's no pleasing people all the time, but when you look at the leadership styles, you see where people are coming from. And it goes back to what Dr. Cloud is writing. Now, an interesting thing is to show how you can connect. Dr. Cloud shares a story about himself. He's not very long as a child, not very long into being a child. I ended up with a disease and I had to go to the hospital. And it was 200 miles away from where I go to school. Not very long into it, I was not doing very well. The fatigue was really setting in. The weakness was there. But as he was away from school for a month and came back, he was behind on all his studies. And very quickly, he was trying to get caught up. He was trying to stay current with the workload that he had. He was trying to do all of his back work because, as you and I both know, you know, back in the 50s and the 60s, If you got behind and you were held back, then you were retarded, you were stupid, you were dumb, you were a failure. Everybody put these logos on you. So his mom was trying to make sure that he could stay forward, could just keep moving. But one day it just got too much for him. He was done. This is what he writes. He says, it came to a head one morning as I was getting ready to go to school to face one more day of no energy, heavy demands to stay after school and catch up with old work and stay current with new assignments. Being alone and out of step and feeling like an outcast, while I was getting dressed, I just stopped and froze. My shirt half-buttoned in a little dazed, while the zombie-like state, I was just standing there for what seemed like a long time, thinking about all of it, and at the same time being unable to think or move. I just felt like I had a heavy load. My mama walked in and said, get ready, you have to go to school, trying to move me along. I just looked at her and said, I don't want to go. I don't want to do it anymore. I just can't. For some reason, he says, I'll never forget what happened next, as small as it may seem. He said, my mama put her arm around me and said, I know. Sometimes I don't want to go to work either when I feel like that. The world kind of stopped for a moment. What, I asked, you feel like you don't want to go to work sometimes? Sure, sometimes when I'm sick or I don't feel well or it's just too much and I don't want to go either. But you do. She just smiled and nodded. He goes on and he says, all I know is at that moment something had shifted inside. I was still tired and overwhelmed and sick. But for some reason, suddenly I felt as if I could do it. I felt transmuted inside from overwhelmed and unable to move, to all of a sudden I had courage, perseverance, and hope had somehow been created in the intersection. Now here's the key, and this is what I want us all to think about, because it doesn't matter if it's at work, it doesn't matter if it's in our marriage, it doesn't matter if it's our kids, what? Listen, she had given me her courage, her perseverance, and her strength to identify with and use. When I say transmuted, that's exactly what happened. Transmuted is a term that means that something has changed in form, substance, or nature. In this instance, one emotional state and also a character trait was transmuted or changed to another through the interaction and connection. Listen, this is the key, folks. We all have hellacious days. We all have those times when we think, why do we want to go forward? I'll use an example. I drove to Austin, to Austin last week, had a phenomenal week in the weather, the storms and everything. We got great business done. I got home, drove straight through 10 hours, got back to the island. Girls went to church on Sunday. I did a lot of work, ran around with Paige, gave her a beach drive, headed up to Atlanta with my son to do business up here for 3 days. But when we got up here, we found out that a lot of the pastors that we were meeting with had canceled due to a variety of unexplained circumstances, just things that had happened. Well, you feel like, man, what am I doing? Was this worth it? Last night, two pastors responded and said they'll meet us for lunch today. Rearranged their schedules. One of them flying out of town tomorrow. That's taking time to meet with us. See, we cannot control the circumstances around us. But for a moment there, it was like, wow, I enjoy the time with my son, but I wanted to conduct some business and get this taken care of. In an interim of a moment, when I saw those texts come in and they said, yes, we'll meet with you for lunch, I thought, all right, that makes it worthwhile. You know, but there, you know, you have to realize not all the time are things going to go the way you want them to go. And you've got to make a decision to pull in some of those past emotions from people that can relate with you. A lot of times you hear me talk about Art Williams, and it's because at a pinnacle time in my life, I was able to see a guy that was not polished. He was not perfection. He was a bald-headed little aging fat man that had a mission. I realized, you know what, if you have a mission, you can withstand a whole lot of stuff. And that's what happens here. That's the power behind what we're talking about here. It's amazing. Dr. Cloud writes this. If your character is integrated, as we have defined it here in this book, you will be able to take an 11-year-old from losing a year in his life to catching up. You'll be able to take a company or a department from losing all of its assets to making a profit. You'll be able to keep someone you love from leaving the relationship, or you will just be able to help those that are in your path. In any case, if you can connect in a way that gives other people something that they can use, you will do well. See, I believe that it's not about the circumstances around us. It's how we react to them. It's not about what our kids or our parents or our business associates are going through. It's how we react with them going through it. You guys know my life. I mean, my family would be, we would get the top award for dysfunctional families. Starting back at my great-grandmother and coming forward. But, you know, as I look through the generations of our family, and as dysfunctional as we may seem to the outside world, we love each other unconditionally. That don't mean we don't bicker and fight amongst ourselves. It just means the outsiders better leave us alone. It means we're going to be there through thick and thin. We're going to help each generation have it a little better than the last. You know, I take that same type of passion into my business world. When I sign on to a brand, whenever I go to work for somebody, whenever I have people coming with us, when I hear about what people are going through, I rally with them. We share empathy with them. We find ways to overcome the situations. That's what we have to do. See, what Dr. Cloud's talking about here is being able to move from that discouraging state and being transmuted into something different. Think about this. There are emotional states that are overwhelming. They can overwhelm your ability to solve problems and keep going. They can just cause you to have paralysis of analysis. But you've got to have the courage to use your abilities and in some ways find them again. And when you're in the right state and the right focus, all of a sudden the discouraged heart can change in an instant. All of a sudden, you find that strength. All of a sudden, you can be split from the overwhelming feeling that you can't make it, and all of a sudden, you see your true ability, and you know that you can go on. You know you can take it to the next level. It's what Dr. Cloud's talking about right here. See, for him to be able to help, he had to connect with her. Once he connected with his mom, once he felt what she was feeling, he had a model. He knew. All of a sudden, he knew he had the strength to go on. He had strength he could depend on. And he could move forward. But even better, he saw vulnerability in his mom. All of a sudden, he could identify with his mom at a whole new level. It was an amazing thing to see. That's what sets people apart. See, her vulnerability is what made her power available to him. See, when you get these people on stage, when you get these upline leaders who don't share what they're going through, it's hard to follow. I look at Garrett McGrath. Garrett is a phenomenal leader, and his beautiful wife, Sylvia. And they lead this way. They literally lead from a powerful state of mind and being, but with vulnerability. They share their past frustrations and hurts. And their team can relate. See, the key point about character, at least in this particular dimension that we're talking about, is for you to build trust with people, you have to be vulnerable enough for them to identify with you so that you're not so unlike them or such an alien or so untouchable. And you have to be strong enough for them to feel that they can depend on you. I'll use another example. People talk all the time about Charlie Sheen and his addiction to drugs. I mean, right now he's kind of in a self-destruct mode, but I believe it's also one of the reasons that his TV show is so successful. There's a lot of people out there that have the same type of flaws as Charlie Sheen, and people can relate to that. The reason when Britney was going through all of her spiraling out of control that she continued to make millions and millions of dollars, and her brand continued to flourish, is because there was a lot of other women out there that could relate to her in that situation. Men didn't relate to her at all. there are some women that can't. See, when you're a person of influence, people relate sometimes. One of the reasons Michael Vick has been able to come out of prison and make it back in the NFL is because there's a whole lot of people that could relate to the fact of what he did. See, when you're vulnerable, whether it's good or bad, but you really are a good leader inside, you can screw it up and people will still follow you. Dr. Cloud writes this: research shows that models who are followed, which ultimately means trusted, are models who have the following characteristics. Listen to this. And you think of the models in your life, the mentors, the people that you follow, if they don't have these characteristics. Number one, they possess strength. They know that they stand for something. They have strength in what they're doing. Number two, they possess a likeness to the ones following them. They're not perfect, probably. You know, in network marketing and direct selling, I have a lot of people that follow us. And every one of them, when I talk to them, we're all in the same boat. We're the exact same type of people. We're trying to make it better each day, and we screw it up all the time. It's amazing. Number three, they're warm. People can relate to them. Number four, they're imperfect. They're imperfect in coping models as opposed to perfect ones. See, this is beautiful. Listen to what Dr. Cloud writes, because this is ideal right here. These are all bridges of both power and vulnerability, having to do with character. If a leader, for example, is weak, people lose faith. We do not follow incompetent leaders, for we do not feel that they can be trusted, that we can trust them with our lives and our future. Interestingly, strength here is about executive power or ability, not force. A domineering, forceful person is not trusted as much as a person who displays strength through the exhibition of competent performance. Some of the weakest leaders are the ones who try to dominate through forcefulness of personality, as opposed to ones who lead through strength of their effectiveness. Being effective is experienced by others as strength. Now, he breaks down these words. Listen to this. Likeness has to do with having points that we can identify with that makes the person more like me than alien to me. I had a situation last week where I was really analyzing an individual that I do business with. And in a particular situation, a personality trait of his came out. He expects people to do exactly what he does. And if he has a weakness, then he anticipates that everybody else has the same weakness. It was interesting to watch. It was also interesting to watch those around him as they interacted with him during this stressful time period. See, people want to follow likeness. They want people that they can like. The second word was warm, which means their basic feel towards others is positive and kind. See, people that are dogmatic, people that are domineering, people with a king-like attitude don't get near the following as people that are liked and rewarded. Take King Arthur or King Richard, or take what was one of the fun ones? Oh, Robin Hood. Robin Hood was liked and admired, but yet the king and the sheriff were not whatsoever. It's amazing. Then there's imperfect. Imperfect means that they don't always get it right. They make mistakes and they have faults. Coping means that they face those directly and deal with them and overcome them. See, this is what a real, authentic, transparent leader is like. This is why people like us want to follow those type of leaders. We're not looking for perfection. We're looking for trust. That's the key. See, if you go around and let people know, man, we're on a mission, and we're in this together, and we're going to win. I need everything you've got, but if you give it all to me, we will make it. They like that. They'll rally with you. But if you go in there and say, you guys got to kick your butt, you got to go do it, and I'm not going to do anything but dog you, people won't follow. They won't follow through either. You've got to let people know where you're at. Now, there's a fine line, but if they know where you're at, if they know what you've been through, if they know that you're not perfect, then the sky will be the limit on where you can take it and what you can do. The key to this whole thing is the tension between vulnerability and strength in leaders, and it can't ever be lost. If a leader or a parent is using those she is trying to lead as a primary support group, and the leader is drawing from them for her own substance, then things are going to be topsy-turvy. Vulnerability is good, but to lead, you cannot be dependent on those you're leading. That kind of dependency and healing must come from somewhere else. Michael Dell is a prime example. He might have a therapist or a consultant to work through his shyness with him, but not his employees. With his employees, he's a leader. He moves forward. He cranks it up. You've got to be able to lead that way. You've got to be vulnerable. You're going to need needs too. That's why you should have a mentor. Tom Hopp is my personal mentor. When I have an issue, I call Tom. I don't call my downline. I don't call my sideline. Sometimes I talk to my son or my wife about it, but for the most part, I'm going to Tom saying, man, I got this quirk. You got to work with me here. What can I do? How can I focus on this? See, that's the key to where we're going and what we're trying to accomplish. The goal here is to help you build an organization, to help you build a company, to help you build a team, whatever it is that you're doing. We work with for-profits, non-profits, individuals. We do everything we can to help you win. You know why? Because we're trying to win ourselves. This isn't about knowing it all. This is about walking through it together. This is why every book that we do is usually one that I want to really dig into myself, because I know that I need to overcome my own limiting beliefs. I honestly believe this is why lately I've had so many people that have rallied around with us that have started to join our company, that started to look at some of the crusades and the causes that we're a part of and say, man, we want to be a part of that, because they understand that like-minded people working together are a force to be reckoned with, and we're having fun at that. Folks, tomorrow ought to be awesome, because we're starting into part 3 of the book, Character Dimension, oriented towards truth. It's amazing. Tomorrow, In Touch with Reality, Chapter 7, we are going to dig deep into this. I really do hope this is beneficial to you. If you're with us on the radio show, we always love feedback. Give us your feedback. Send an email to me, troy@troydooley.com. You can send a comment or a post right here at Blog Talk Radio. But, you know, we get excited about this. We enjoy what we're doing. So hang with us and let's have fun. Live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back here tomorrow morning with us for Radio for Your Mind. Bye now.